This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's jump in right away. It's 1:09. We are the home of the Minnesota Twins. Victory last night over the world champion Rangers. 3-2, put it together in the ninth. Bailey Ober wins another game, and I'm going to start right there because the president of baseball operations for the Twins, Derek Falvey, is kind enough to join us. Derek, like all of our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I have a phone etiquette question for you at the end of the conversation, but I'm looking at Sports Illustrated today, SI.com. Could Twins Bailey Ober sneak into AL Cy Young conversation? They point out the stats that you know, that since June 16th, we're sitting here August 16th, he's 7-1, 1.87 ERA. He's had 10 straight quality starts. During this stretch, he leads the American League and ranks second among all Major League starters in that span. So he certainly has showed moments, Derek, the last couple of years, but he has not had a stretch like this. So what is different about Bailey during these 2 months compared to the last couple of years?
Yeah, you know, Chad, that's cool to hear on a lot of fronts, mostly for Bailey, just how much we get to see behind the scenes, how much work he puts in, how healthy he's gotten, you know, how prepared he is every game. Just a really cool credit to his work ethic. And I think when you go back to, I remember back in the draft for him, we really liked his feel. We liked his ability to throw strikes. Obviously, a big kid. We thought there was some development there, but he had dealt with some, you know, elbow and shoulder things along the way as a high school and college pitcher. But we felt like if we continued to track him in the right direction, there were really good signs. If you look at his minor league track record and even his big league track record, and I know you said of late he's been just excellent, but he has always been good. I mean, his minor league numbers are excellent. His big league numbers have been really solid throughout. I think you're seeing the maturation of a young pitcher who's still, you know, just in his late 20s, starting to come into his own and understand who he is. Last night, to me, was one of those true Bailey games where the first inning was long.
Yeah, I was just
he
going
didn't,
there, yeah.
He didn't get out of it, and he struggled, but he found a way then to get really efficient innings and give us, you know, like you said, another quality start.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm watching last night, and he's laboring. I mean, your pitching coach came out there. I don't think anybody thought at that point he was going to be taken out of the game, but when Pete Mackey came out, I think, what was it, maybe bases loaded, one run in, and he gives up one more run, and then it wasn't like he was as lights out as he has been during other starts because it gave up some hits, but that is a maturation. And I'm not trying to rain on the parade in any way because he just has been good. But you know this, if there's been one inning where he hasn't been as sharp as others, it's the first. So yeah. These are great numbers. Everybody in baseball would take them. But why has it maybe taken him that one inning to really get going?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm sure it's something Bailey, I know Pete and Bailey and others have tried to figure it out. Sometimes over the course of a season, you know, you have those one-offs. It's never really been an issue for him historically. So I think we're hopeful that this is one of those where he's just trying to sort through it and get it. But even last night, you said, just the way that inning went, you know, you have a couple ground ball singles up. He did walk a couple guys. That's where the pitch count started to pick up. And
yep.
I think for him to settle back in, though, you know, when he was in that 25, 26, 27 pitch range, throw a ton of strikes thereafter, get a really efficient, you know, second inning when he got back out there. Those are the types of things that pitchers who've done this for a little while, who've developed some of the understanding of the skill, knowing what they need to do, being able to slow the game down, that's what we're watching Bailey do right in front of our eyes.
Okay, let's get to health because every team deals with it, and you're dealing with a lot of stuff right now. Let me go through some names. Let's stay with the starting rotation. Where are you at right now with Joe Ryan?
Yeah, Joe dealt with that Terry's major strain when he's thrown in Chicago. This is a guy who has never dealt with injury, you know, through the course of his career. So really unfortunate when you get to a point where he was throwing well. You know, it was early in the game. It's not a pitch count. All the things that you point to, you start wondering about, was he fatigued? Was he beat up? This guy is as good as anybody at preparing his body, keeping himself in good shape. He's quite flexible. So when this happens, it's a freak injury, and that's what our doctor said, as well as additional doctors who evaluated it. This is going to take some time, and ultimately a muscle strain like this, fortunately, it was not a surgical issue. It's not something that we need to worry about how it'll impact the beginning of next year, but we do need to wait until that muscle is fully healed before he starts any level of throwing program. And based on our doctor's assessments and external doctors, you know, this is going to take a little bit more time. So we aren't yet ruling out anything, but we know, you know, 4 to 6 weeks at least of downtime is part of the equation, and then we're going to have to see how it tracks through the end of September.
Okay, so even for him to start throwing again is mid to late September. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's a fair assessment, Chad, and I think that's just reality of this kind of injury. He feels good already, and one of the things that I've come to learn in my career is the player is usually the worst doctor when it comes to his assessment of himself, because they're so eager to get back out there and do it. But you know, you kind of have to protect them from themselves sometimes, and that's what the doctors are there for, to make sure they know what the schedule looks like. And at this stage, we're going to have a lot more downtime here before we can get them going again.
Derek Fowley, president of baseball operations, is with us. Twins back in action tonight in Texas after winning last night. If you had a captain, your captain clearly would be Carlos Correa, and he was great in the first half. He was healthy. He was hitting with power. He was just himself at shortstop, and then I think if anybody just heard plantar fascia, you thought, okay, here we go again. Well, but it's the other foot. And so the initial idea was it's an issue, but it's not as severe as last year. But as you know, this is an extended period of time. Where are you at in his progress? And has this been longer than you initially thought it might have been?
Yeah, I think what you just said is exactly the way our mind went through this over the last month. You know, he had the issue in San Francisco there right before the All-Star break and got him down on the IL. We were hopeful that because it wasn't as severe based on the images we saw that we'd get him back going okay, but he was really struggling with kind of turning his foot. It was his back foot when he was swinging. And so ultimately we felt more downtime would help. The good news is that over the period of time that he's gotten treatment and he's done all the things that he did to try and get himself back to a good place like he did this offseason, you know, his swinging has gotten better. He feels good in that spot. When he's taking ground balls, he still feels good. But unfortunately, what took a little bit longer over the last couple of weeks was just his running, the ability to run in spikes, kind of hitting that heel and having that soreness still persist. So the good news we've tracked over the last few days is he started to really progress that running and not have that same feeling and that pain. So if we can continue to do that as he builds up his progression, as he gets himself back, you know, fully into baseball running shape here, we can then track to when baseball activity begins. I'm hopeful and still really optimistic that that's coming soon. But until we get through that stage here, we don't have a perfect timeline.
So I've read a couple comments before when he was making some progress. The feeling was that he might not have to go to St. Paul for a couple of days. Let's say it continues to go well and it's sometime next 7 to 10 days. Does he go right back in the lineup, or does he have a couple of days just, you know, 10 miles away with the Saints?
Yeah, I think our view initially was that if it was a shorter term shutdown, as you said, we might consider, just given how well he prepares, all the work he does off the field, his ability to kind of keep his body where it needs to be, that we might have considered that. At this stage, with the amount of time down and the way it's looked, I think he and we both feel, you know, after more conversations, that with that downtime, seeing live pitching, making sure he responds well, coming out of a game, things like that that you can do at the minor league level that you can't do at the big league level, and especially with us just having the team right across town, it would be prudent and most likely the way this will track going forward.
I mean, I want to get to other issues, but you just have so many key guys injured that a lot of people care about it. So let's talk Byron and let's talk Brooks Lee. What can you tell me about those two guys?
Yeah, in both cases, those two, when we got a chance to look at it, when they dealt with, in Byron's case, his hip, and Brooks's case, his shoulder, both are a version of inflammation, you know, just a little bit beat up right now. Again, nothing that we think is of long-term concern, but, you know, starting with Byron, we know that over time he's dealt with some of his lower half injuries. We're always attentive to it. He was playing great, playing through it. He's really swinging the bat exceptionally well for us over the last couple of months. And, you know, for him to feel it when he was sprinting in center field and just a little bit of tightness, we felt like the best thing to do was get an image, make sure we weren't missing something, and then get him some treatment. The good news is that, again, we didn't identify anything that's going to be of long-term concern, but he is going to get treatment over this period of time. We had a shutdown with him earlier in the year and to put him on the IL over a 10-day stretch, and he came right back off of that. I'm actually optimistic that we're going to be looking at something very similar for this stretch, which will give him a chance to play when we get home here. And in Brooks's case, you know, a young player coming up and through, obviously dealt with a back injury coming out of spring training, but as he's progressed, he's gone really good. And then ultimately, he's dealing with some shoulder inflammation, something that we don't want to let track all year long. Another guy who, if we could keep him closer to the minimum in terms of time down, would be ideal, and it does feel like that's tracking in that direction.
I watched almost all of when Zebby Matthews was in the other night and came away, like everybody, just so impressed, especially his command of the strike zone, and he's not command of the strike zone at 90. You know, it's a lot of hard stuff. It's always different when more people see you, and it's this astronomical jump from A to Major League Baseball. What is your sense how he handled it, and is he just right back in the rotation for you?
Yeah, Chad, you know, my takeaway was similar to what you just said. We've watched a lot of Major League Baseball over our careers, and I think when you see a rookie come up, you're looking for the signs of the nerves and the anxiety and the maybe just not the same pitcher you saw in the minor leagues, and that's pretty typical and okay, right? You don't get to see the best version of him right away because of those nerves. I didn't see that with Zebby. I saw a guy who just consistently pounded the strike zone, used all his pitches, you know, found a way to stay ahead of hitters, which has been truly his calling card. When you look at his minor league numbers, you know, they're like video game numbers in terms of strikeouts and walks. They're so good. But you never know how that's going to translate at the big league level. And I think what we saw from him was the ability to translate it right away. Now, hitters will adjust, and he'll need to adjust to those hitters. That's part of the game of baseball. But he has shown already his ability to jump from level to level, settle in pretty quickly and be a part of this, and we have no reason to believe he shouldn't go back out there and give ourselves a chance to win some games going forward.
Two last items, and I'll let you go. I want your thoughts on Jesse Rogers from ESPN broke this a couple days ago. This idea that baseball's still tinkering with some of the rules off, you know, relief pitchers and three at bats and the shifts. And the pitch clock, that the possibility of starting pitching, continuing to emphasize more starters, that the starters would be required to go six innings unless they already thrown 100 pitches, had given up four or more earned runs, or the pitcher was injured. Okay, obviously you've heard about this more than us, and you heard about it ahead of time. If this comes to play, what would you think, and how close do you think it is from coming to the game itself?
Yeah, you know, Chad, I personally love these discussions because I think it's a way for us to talk about the game and getting the game to a place where both the fans and the players and everybody who's a part of this, you know, sees the best version of it. And, you know, ultimately our game has trended toward a lot of velocity, you know, a lot of really good pitches, you know, thrown throughout the course of a game, whether it's your starter or your reliever. And ultimately that's how outs are being achieved right now. And so now we need to think about, in the event that there could be a shift toward, you know, an inning minimum, so to speak. There are probably some rounding out of the edges as to how that program would work, but ultimately, I'm all for the conversation. My big belief is we just need to know what the rules are, what the intentions are, how we're going to do it going forward so that we prepare our players the best we can. And if we're all working and by the same rules, let's figure out how to win within those. And I think there's a real opportunity here for us to continue to have some dialogue after the pitch clock was implemented. And maybe it was a little bit of a shock for most, but has universally been regarded as a tremendous shift. Are there other things we can do like that that will continue to just enhance the game that we all love?
Would this have to start in the minor leagues for a couple of years, or could it debut in the majors?
I think you'd need some transition period, certainly, just for the sake of making sure players knew kind of what this looked like, how we got there. You know, you'd have these one-off. We had a conversation in the office the other day about how do you handle if the guy goes 42, 44 pitches in the first inning, right?
Yeah.
It might not be factored in. You know, what do you do with that? Are there exceptions, you know, over the course of a season that you can utilize for those very rare cases, just so you don't put someone in harm's way? I mean, at the end of the day, part of it is just making sure that you manage it. You're not forcing a guy to be out there when maybe he's not in as good a position as he should be. So there's a lot more to discuss around what that looks like. I think the framework in general, though, deserves a lot more conversation, but it also deserves some time to roll out to make sure that we put our pitchers in a position that they can do it.
I'll get to my silly cell phone conversation another time. Thanks for the lengthy visit. Wish you the best, and we'll see each other soon.
Thanks for having me on, Chad. I always enjoy it.
Derek Falvey. Let's react to what Derek had to say. Twins, I mean, after the slow start, they play great baseball, but a lot of guys still out. I want to react to some of those comments, see what Dave has to say. You obviously can chime in anytime you would like. StylesFinancial.com, talk and text line, 651-461-9226.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mean, do you enjoy hurting me?
It's a great air guitar song.
Ba-bom. There's nothing. Da-dum. You know what's great about this song? When it's done. God, they all.
I have my choice. It'll never be done. We'll just crank her back up. Let's go. Come on, Chad.
What an insidious song.
I got more.
Are you playing more, Journey?
I could.
Don't.
I wasn't planning on it.
Please, but for the love of anything.
If you're going to complain.
For the love of anything decent.
Street lights.
Okay. Again, a karaoke singer replaced him. Band is irrelevant. If you can just go to, hey, there's Fred over there singing karaoke. We can replace the lead singer. We'll get to some of the texts about Major Garrett and some of the comments about mispronouncing intentionally the vice president's name and also on Donald Trump. We'll get to that a little bit later. Okay, so let's react to Falvey. Let's start with Ober. Ober's their most valuable player, right? He's been out there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Lewis, when he plays, it's spectacular. Correa, when he played in the first half, was outstanding.
Willie Castro.
Willie Castro has been durable. He's played 47 positions. But the most valuable thing in baseball, and nothing is close, is a starting pitcher gets it done all the time.
I've heard
the guy's
momentum,
been an ace.
Momentum is only as good as next day's starting pitcher.
Thank you, Tom Kelly. I saw a picture, who put it out there today, of TK when he was 18, drafted by the Seattle Pilots.
No.
Yeah, really good. But Ober, to have that stretch for 2 months, 7-1, 1.87 ERA, 10 consecutive quality starts.
Yeah.
That's an ace.
Yeah.
It may not last, but there are no signs it's slowing down. And getting through a lousy first inning, it's weird because his numbers from innings two on, he's honestly close to a 1 ERA. It's absurd how good he is. So that's an amazing thing to have for this team.
Over the last 2 months, it's felt like when Johan Santana was in his prime here.
Yeah.
It's when he comes around, just put it in the win column.
Or Pablo last year when he had a couple of his good stretches, or Sonny Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Last year. Again, I joined the crew when they didn't add somebody saying Joe Pauletta created this, not Derek Falvey, not Dave St. Peter, not Thad Levine, not Rocco Baldelli. Joe Pauletta, period, end of conversation. Joe Pauletta deciding because of legitimately losing $25 to $30 million that they're going to say we're going to do the budget game. When you have the momentum they had from last year, I think it's a mistake. And again, it's a lot easier for me to spend other people's money. Call me. I'll spend your money however you want. But their comeback is the way Ober has pitched. Now, with all the injuries, this is why you add another starter. As I told Falvey, I thought Matthews was really, really good. Now, Devin Smeltzer was really good in his first start about 4 years ago, too, right?
Sammy Deduno.
Yeah.
Decade ago.
Lot of stuff. But, you know, health-wise. Okay, so let's go. Who's the next one health-wise you want to talk about? Byron seems like he'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Lee seems like he'll be back. You know, Lee was scintillating early. He's been, you know where he's really good is in the field. He hasn't hit as well after the initial run. Correa. They're just so much better when Correa plays. And so, I mean, listen to him. I threw the 7 to 10 days out. I mean, that's you know, getting close to September.
Mm-hmm.
He's their most important guy, right? Of all them, right? Joe Ryan would mean a lot, but again, Falvey pretty darn honest there, saying 4 to 6 weeks minimum from when it started is what, 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, about that.
Yeah.
So you're looking end of September. He's going to go through all the stuff, and then he's going to come back in early October for a start if they're in the playoffs. I don't think he should count it.
You can't rely on that.
No.
To get Correa back, who's, you know, he's been good offensively this year and as good as ever in the field.
Yeah. So good in the field.
Yeah. There's not a better defensive shortstop in baseball. It's easy.
He's in the conversation for sure. There's some other guys who are really good. But he's another guy I think you appreciate, just like the other shortstops do. If you watch on a regular basis, you know what he doesn't do? He so rarely screws up the basic play.
Mm-hmm.
So rarely. And then because that arm is just vicious.
That's just it. He can get himself out of a problem if he does, you know, fumble the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just show this hose over to first base.
He does. They're interesting. They are, you know. From 7 and 13 to where they're at right now, what are they, 20 to 21 over? Obviously, Texas isn't that good. It's an interesting spot because you wanted one more against Cleveland, right? Especially after you won the first two. There's still such a long way to go. Does it matter to win the division? It does, right, because of the wild card situation. That's where, projecting. If I knew Correa and Buxton were healthy the rest of the way, then I think, to quote PA, let's play. Then they're in mix. If they, I mean, and it seemed like Buxton was coming back. But if you're without Correa for a long time, and I know they've won games without him, but I think they're only, what are they, only a couple games above 500 since Correa left? You know, more of the damage was done while he was there. You know, if they get Paddock back, he's a bullpenner. And they probably need one more bullpen arm considering they lost Stewart. But after an offseason where they brought on negative publicity, after a poor start, they've been a lot of fun to pay attention to. All right, let's get to a couple of the comments that people text on our comments on Trump and belittling, demeaning the Medal of Honor. We'll play that audio again, and we'll get to other items as we continue. Don't forget, who we got next hour? Why don't you remind me who we have next hour?
Shaletta Brundage, the columnist.
The columnist. She's now the columnist. She's here early, too. Funny. She's now a columnist, and she gets here early.
That's what she does.
I'm sure she was to the Minneapolis Club. She had invented the Minneapolis Club last night. Were you invited?
No.
Not invited?
No, it's a shame.
Nope. And then Am I Wrong? At 2:35 here. It's 1:36 on CCO. I'd love to listen to about 6 Steve Miller songs and then fly like an eagle out of there. Get right out.
Oh, very good.
Thank you. I'm a wordsmith. We had Major Garrett on. In fact, Major Garrett, by the way, who once again will be anchoring the CBS Evening News. When we played a certain soundbite from the 45th President of the United States, what was the word Major used in describing it? Repulsive.
Acutely repulsive.
Acutely repulsive. Exactly. I called it earlier repugnant. This is the president I initially misidentified Mar-a-Lago. No, not in the summer. Bedminster, where again the other day he shot 67 and won another club
championship, baby. Yeah.
If he just would accept that he's, as a 78-year-old man, a very good golfer, as a 78-year-old man, but no one with any level of intellectual capability believes he shot 67 the other day.
That's what bothers you the most about Donald Trump, isn't
Not
it?
Not really.
It's and the golf.
By the way, I watched the whole Bryson thing. I enjoyed it. Now, I'm sure there was some shots that were live and were very good, and there were other shots that live weren't good, and they edited. Fine. No big deal. He finds the middle of club face a lot for a 78-year-old. He finds the middle of club face a lot for any age, to be honest. But again, he just has to exaggerate dramatically and then trot Jack out to give him his trophies. Man, oh, man. But Trump and the military. Trump, I mean, just gross about John McCain. Because they disagree. And McCain, by the way, went at Trump hard, too. So it's not like McCain was innocent in this. But I like my heroes who aren't shot down. That's what Donald Trump said about John McCain, who was, what, 4 years? Was offered numerous opportunities to be let go by the evil which was holding him, but wouldn't do it. Just said, in order. Didn't want to be used as a prop. Prisoner wars. POWs, mocking them. John Kelly, four-star general. Who Donald Trump picked as his chief of staff, right? Bravo. John Kelly, I believe, 100,000%. When Donald Trump called folks in the military suckers and losers. So then he's in Mar-a-Lago with a fake press conference. The other one, you know, last week, he did answer a lot of questions. And by the way, the vice president here, she's running from press conferences. Running. I've called that out 15 times on the show. I've called it out 3-4 times on Twitter. She's hiding from questions. I find it embarrassing. Live up to it. Donald Trump has a fake press conference where he speaks for 50 minutes, and when a couple of people ask questions, he goes on for 10 minutes, has nothing to do with the questions, but he's got Miriam Adelson there. And reporting was that he was mad at Adelson recently, and there had to be some cleanup on some emails. So now he's kissing her butt. Yesterday, Donald Trump, because she's extraordinarily wealthy. Her husband, Sheldon, passed away a couple years ago. They've donated huge sums of money to him. So he offers up this comment as he's kissing up to Adelson. And listen to the way he did it.
We gave Miriam the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That's the highest award you can get as a civilian. It's the equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor, but civilian version. It's actually much better because everyone gets the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's soldiers. They're either in very bad shape because they've been hit so many times by bullets, or they're dead. She gets it, and she's a healthy, beautiful woman. It's very... And they're rated equal.
It's disgusting. And he just doesn't get it, how repugnant that is. Again, it's Medal of Honor. It's not Congressional Medal of Honor. But just, this is the better one. You're not injured. You're not dead. As I said to Major, if Harris said that, Biden said that, if Omar said that, if either Clinton said that, can you imagine what would be going on? No other Republican would say that. No other Democrat would say that, and he gets away with it. So, yeah, I called him out on that. Then, here she is. And I get, we all can mispronounce a name or so. Happens frequently to the guy talking right now. But, and we played some of the Nancy Mace, and I see it all the time when I watch. And by the way, I'll just add again, her policies as a senator and her policies running for president in 2019, she didn't even get to 2020. Her campaign was a disaster. And those policies were, for my politics, way left of me. And some of the proposals she's laying out today, I'm kind of curious the size of government, how we're going to pay for. So as somebody's a centrist, I'm looking to see if she's going to move that way, because she's going to have to move a decent distance to get to the center. So go at her on those positions, because Walz is clearly a lefty, you know, progressive in the state, move well left of where he once was. Go at her on policy positions. No problem. Go at her on where is she? Why isn't she answering questions? Very valid. But intentionally, because it's everywhere by Republicans or Republican sympathizer, not Kamala Harris. Kamala. Nancy Mace, who I'm sure, like a lot of female politicians, like almost all, has been treated poorly often. She says last night, I'll call her whatever I want. And then today, Nancy Mace is tweeting, oh, I was, you know, female mistreated. What's she doing when she's going, Kamala? If, by the way, if she was a white person, none of this would be happening. Zero. Barack Hussein Obama. Geez, I wonder why that was happening. You want to differ with me?
No. That? I can't.
None of this. Just admit it.
It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing, and it's been going on for weeks and months. I mean, the fact that they're having this argument on CNN with Nancy Mace about how she's saying the name and will call her what she wants. And then she references her as Kamala.
Yeah.
She corrects herself saying it correctly so she can then say it incorrectly to hurl one more insult.
Think about who they're appealing to with that.
It's the lowest of the low.
Text. Okay, I used to look forward to Major, but now I'm done. This is ridiculous how Chad Major bashing Republicans once again. By the way, we criticized Joe Biden during that segment over and over and over and over and over again. For 2 years, I sat here on this show and said he's not up for the job. I was right. I just sat here and said she's too liberal for me and she's hiding. But going to race and belittling military members, that's just Republican. You can't just say, hey, I believe in Republican principles, but that's beneath where I want to go. Intentionally mispronouncing a black and Indian woman's name to play to the worst of our base, just like the Barack Hussein Obama was. I mean, I don't even know what Kamala's middle name is, because it's not evil enough, but Kamala is awful. Just win on issues. It's not that difficult to try. I'd love to listen to about six Steve Miller songs and then fly like an eagle out of there. Get right out.
Oh, very good.
Thank you. I'm a wordsmith. We had Major Garrett on. In fact, Major Garrett, by the way, who once again will be anchoring the CBS Evening News. When we played a certain soundbite from the 45th president of the United States, what was the word Major used in describing it? Repulsive.
Acutely repulsive.
Acutely repulsive. Said, exactly. I called it earlier repugnant. This is the president I initially misidentified Mar-a-Lago. No, not in the summer. Bedminster, where again the other day he shot 67 and won another club
championship. Yeah. Baby.
If he just would accept that he's as a 78-year-old man, a very good golfer, as a 78-year-old man, but no one with any level of intellectual capability believes he shot 67 the other day.
That's what bothers you the most about Donald Trump, isn't
Not
it?
Not really.
It's
and
the golf.
By the way, I watched the whole Bryson thing. I enjoyed it. Now, I'm sure there was some shots that were live and were very good, and there were other shots that live weren't good, and they edited. Fine. No big deal. He finds the middle of club face a lot for a 78-year-old. He finds the middle of club face a lot for any age, to be honest. But again, he just has to exaggerate dramatically and then trot Jack out to give him his trophies. Man, oh, man. But Trump and the military. Trump, I mean, just gross about John McCain. Because they disagree. And McCain, by the way, went at Trump hard, too. So it's not like McCain was innocent in this. But I like my heroes who aren't shot down. That's what Donald Trump said about John McCain, who was, what, 4 years? was offered numerous opportunities to be let go by the evil which was holding him, but wouldn't do it, just said in order, didn't want to be used as a prop. Prisoner wars, POWs, mocking them. John Kelly, four-star general, who Donald Trump picked as his chief of staff, right? Bravo. John Kelly, I believe, 100,000% when Donald Trump called folks in the military suckers and losers. So then he's in Mar-a-Lago with a fake press conference. The other one, you know, last week he did answer a lot of questions. And by the way, the vice president here, she's running from press conferences. Running. I've called that out 15 times on the show. I've called it out 3-4 times on Twitter. She's hiding from questions. I find it embarrassing. Live up to it. Donald Trump has a fake press conference where he speaks for 50 minutes and when a couple of people ask questions, he goes on for 10 minutes, has nothing to do with the questions, but he's got Miriam Adelson there. And reporting was that he was mad at Adelson recently, and there had to be some cleanup on some emails. So now he's kissing her butt yesterday, Donald Trump, because she's extraordinarily wealthy. Her husband Sheldon passed away a couple years ago. They've donated huge sums of money to him. So he offers up this comment as he's kissing up to Adelson, and listen the way he did it.
We gave Miriam the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That's the highest award you can get as a civilian. It's the equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor, but civilian version. It's actually much better because everyone gets the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's soldiers. They're either in very bad shape because they've been hit so many times by bullets, or they're dead. She gets it, and she's a healthy, beautiful woman. It's fair. And they're rated equal.
It's disgusting. And he just doesn't get it how repugnant that is. Again, it's Medal of Honor. It's not Congressional Medal of Honor. But just, this is the better one. You're not injured. You're not dead. As I said to Major, if Harris said that, Biden said that, if Omar said that, if either Clinton said that, can you imagine what would be going on? No other Republican would say that. No other Democrat would say that, and he gets away with it. So, yeah, I called him out on that. Then, here she is, and I get, we all can mispronounce a name or so. Happens frequently to the guy talking right now. But, and we played some of the Nancy Mace, and I see it all the time when I watch. And by the way, I'll just add again, her policies as a senator and her policies running for president in 2019, she didn't even get to 2020. Her campaign was a disaster. And those policies were, for my politics, way left of me. And some of the proposals she's laying out today, I'm kind of curious the size of government, how we're going to pay for. So if somebody's a centrist, I'm looking to see if she's going to move that way because she's going to have to move a decent distance to get to the center. So go at her on those positions because Walz is clearly a lefty, you know, progressive in the state, move well left of where he once was. Go at her on policy positions. No problem. Go at her on where is she? Why isn't she answering questions? Very valid. But intentionally, because it's everywhere by Republicans or Republican sympathizer, not Kamala Harris. Kamala. Nancy Mace, who I'm sure, like a lot of female politicians, like almost all, has been treated poorly often. She says last night, I'll call her whatever I want. And then today, Nancy Mace is tweeting, oh, I was, you know, female mistreated. What's she doing when she's going, Kamala? If, by the way, if she was a white person, none of this would be happening. Zero. Barack Hussein Obama. Geez, I wonder why that was happening. You want to differ with me?
No, that? I can't.
None of this. Just admit it.
It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing, and it's been going on for weeks and months. I mean, the fact that they're having this argument on CNN with Nancy Mace about how she's saying the name and will call her what she wants. And then she references her as Kamala. I mean, Kamala.
Yeah.
She corrects herself saying it correctly so she can then say it incorrectly to hurl one more insult.
Think about who they're appealing to with that.
It's the lowest of the low.
Text, okay, I used to look forward to Major, but now I'm done. This is ridiculous how Chad Major bashing Republicans once again. By the way, we criticized Joe Biden during that segment over and over and over and over and over again. For 2 years, I sat here on this show and said he's not up for the job. I was right. I just sat here and said she's too liberal for me and she's hiding. But going to race and belittling military members, that's just Republican. You can't just say, hey, I believe in Republican principles, but that's beneath where I want to go. Intentionally mispronouncing a black and Indian woman's name to play to the worst of our base, just like the Barack Hussein Obama was. I mean, I don't even know what Kamala's middle name is because it's not evil enough, but Kamala is awful. Just win on issues. It's not that difficult to try.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.